And there's a trip to Cuba that seems really important to you and to the record. What's the story there?
I think one of the things that's important about that trip was symbolically for me just stepping away from the pace of the band that I was really, I'd say I was getting exasperated with the constant touring, and I was able to be inaccessible, like physically inaccessible from everything for a month because there was no way to contact me. Like, I mean, it was a true escape in a way. I was like running away. But I also, there was like so many reasons I wanted to go. I was really, really interested in the politics there. I was really interested in the history. I was really interested in, like, I always have been interested in just like how societies are organized and how, especially, places that seem like forbidden for some way, like for some reason, like what's going on there? What are the people like? And Obama had made it very easy to go at the time. It was like for $50 or something, you could get a people-to-people visa, which just meant have organic connection and contact with the Cuban people. Like, don't, you can't go to like hotels and the beach for a month. You have to be engaging with citizens and, you know, with Cubans.
Did you have a companion? Did you go alone?
No, I went alone.
Really? Great.
Oh. Until the last week. Two friends of mine who also live in Nashville, Miss Tess and Lindsay Liu,
there we go,
flew down. And so we spent the last week together, but for the first 3 weeks I was totally alone. And I took, you know, I really took the cultural immersion thing seriously because the day I got there was inauguration day. So I thought, you know, all these laws could change. Like, they're going to seize my journals and be like, what were you doing there? Yeah. But, so I kept like really detailed notes while I was there, and I took music lessons, I took percussion lessons, and I took guitar lessons.
Great.
And I lived with a family that I had found through Airbnb, and there's a pretty extensive system, just like kind of off the grid system in Cuba, of being able to just kind of walk up to a house, and if it has this little certain little marking on the door, you know that they are open to having guests. It's a pretty open place for staying with people, staying with families. And it was a really wonderful experience. It just kind of turned my world upside down.
Had, like, you already given sort of notice to the band that you were off on your own at that point? Or was that part of the revelations of that year of 2017?
I remember that a year after that, so I was on a flight from Nashville, well, from Chicago to Amman, Jordan. So I was going there with the band Della May as a special guest on a State Department trip. And I remember realizing that I needed to communicate to the band that I could not be, that we needed to financially, like, not rely on each other anymore. I mean, it was like a marriage. Like,
sure.
It was our adult reality.
Yeah.
Like, it was the only, it was a very, very tight knit group, and it was very scary, but it was very, like, I just remember on that flight, I was like, I need to at least assert that there's going to be certain times that I'm unavailable and certain, but.
Well, the women in Della May had been through that themselves.
Totally.
They'd had to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
They had the hard years together running, making records. And you and the Stray Birds made six recordings together.
Yeah.
And you described the rigors of the road. Well, I don't want to dwell on the departure, because what matters is the arrival here and going forward in 2019 and getting to share this record with the world. It's a wonderful record, and it's rootsy, but it's a pop and rock record too. It's got just a lot of texture. You've got strings and You took some real opportunities to let the music kind of expand and do some arranging. And so stepping way beyond folk, just a couple remarks on that, on the aesthetic that you kind of thought or you felt emerge.
I guess a lot of that was just choosing the band and then letting people play. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that had to do with Anthony, and he's just a really unrestrained guitarist and certainly not trying to fit into any box. And Jason Berger is a phenomenal drummer who spent time with Big Thief. That was a project that he was a part of for some time. And I think Dan is just a really creative producer and really could just feel that I was open to doing that. And I guess as a singer, I certainly feel more kinship with some voices and like outside of the bluegrass genre. I was playing fiddle and enjoying singing those songs.
I'd say my favorites, two songs that have emerged here in my extensive 24 hours of listening, are What the Moon Said. And it does appear that has been released through Folk Alley. And that's kind of, is that a lead, sort of a lead track?
That one, I released that just on my Bandcamp page in December. And so there's two songs that are up on my Bandcamp. And it's the second. So What the Moon Said is the second track of the record. And I wrote that one with Courtney Hartman, who Great. Was once in Delamay. Mm-hmm. And that one, I love Jason Berger's drums. They sound so good.
Very lush, and it's got the tones you talked about in your bio about the little sort of a canoe journey with Courtney and moon, water, and really having a moment in nature where that really kind of came home.
Yeah.
So the aesthetics are clear there. And the other I love is Go Tell a Bird. What a great song. Number five. What would you say about the background of that one?
I remember I went out to eat some Mexican food that night, and then I came home and I had just bought this electric guitar, and I was just enjoying like kind of playing around and playing higher up the neck and writing some kind of melodic stuff on the guitar. And I was thinking about Nick Drake and how repetitive some of his lyrics are, how minimalist his lyrics can be. And I have no idea where that, where some of those lines came from, but it was really what I was feeling. I was all concerned whether I was going to come, have trouble at the border coming home from Cuba, and if they were going to read my journals and, judge whether what I had done, the way I'd spent my time was like, U.S. government sanctioned, cultural appropriate, like what if, if it was the way that they, if music lessons were, what they wanted people to be doing. And I had no trouble at all because, of course, during that time, the Muslim ban was happening at the airports, and that's really what they were most focused on. Yeah. But wow. I was just really thinking about freedom and really trying to ask myself more difficult questions and in turn, like, ask the people in power more difficult questions. So I think this song for me is like it's like what I want to say to the government that is shut down. I just don't want to be a citizen that like takes takes it for what is that like takes what is being said, like that just hears the rhetoric and hears.
Sure.
I want to be creative in the way that I like question what's happening, and this is my way to do that. I just want to be questioning like everything as if I'm like seven and be like, well, I don't get it. Like, tell me more about like why the world is the way it is. And like, just tell me more. Like, I just don't accept this arrangement of the world as the best.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm tempted to end there, but I'll ask these two more questions. So I have them on the record, and so they may find a spot in the middle or something, or not, or whatever. But when did the title Adaptations come to you and realize that was the name of the record?
I had no I had no idea. For a while, I wanted to name it Mirror Made of Water, which was a line from The Key. Yeah. But that was just kind of a working title. And but I knew that wasn't it because I wanted one word that would just sum it up for me. I just really wanted a one-word title. And I had a 12-hour solo drive last summer from Nashville up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I just decided, okay, by the end of this drive, I'm going to sequence the record and name it. Yeah. And that's when I decided. That's what just popped into my head. I was just, you know, probably working my way through the alphabet in my head and just stopped at the A's.
It's a word. It's got a specific implication because you adapt to change. It's not about instigating change. You instigated change and then you had to kind of get used to what you'd done.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you, and then my last question was, it hit me when I pulled up your website and just kind of getting a sense of how you're presenting yourself. And I thought it was actually great info because you define the Stray Birds chapter with the albums that were there and then the new one. So it'll be for journalists. It's wonderfully helpful. But I'm wondering if you remember the moment when you hit go on your own website and whether that was a moment of, well, that's real, because in the world of media and people paying attention to who's a musician, that .com is like, ta-da. Was that a thing?
I don't remember that moment. That wasn't a big moment to me. The big moment that I do remember is making the Facebook post that the Stray Birds were disbanding. I absolutely remember that moment because it felt like posting and then reading your own obituary, because at the time I truly felt no other identity and truly felt no other that I did not, even though I made this record and, you know, I loved music and I would play music if I couldn't record it. And if I was just playing fiddle at an old time festival, like I existed as a musician, but I definitely remember and felt really heavy about sharing the news that the Stray Birds were disbanding. And then I remember I put that trio record on the turntable, that like Dolly and Linda and Emmy Lou record. I put that on and I turned it up. And I just sat on the couch and listened to that record. And my roommate came in and she was like, hey, how are you doing today? And I was like, I'm having a funeral. And that's what I felt like. It was like I was celebrating, like that was my celebration of life, of that I remember. Really remember. That felt like the end and the beginning to me of something. So making my own website I felt like no one was watching, who cares? Nobody knows what I'm doing right now. Like, I'll just buy the domain. Like, eventually I'll use it. That felt very casual.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck in the year ahead. It's going to be a very interesting year for you, and we'll check in a year and see how it all is feeling then.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much for talking.
Thanks, Maya. Nice.